You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes Sports and the West Side Community News, and I'm on my fifth year on the beat now. Crazy to think about, as always. Today, we're going to talk about the Indiana Pacers here on the Locked On Pacers podcast, diving right into more free agency topics, the hot topic around the league. This will probably be the last general broad free agency update show until the Pacers make a move. I think I've covered every angle, but today what we'll do, Pacers haven't done anything since Saturday, bringing in Jalen Smith. They are certainly still canvassing the league, figuring out what they can do, as every team is at this point, but Kevin Durant's still the logjam. So we'll talk about the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. Not can the Pacers get Kevin Durant, because I don't think they can, but what can they get involved in a Durant trade? How can they facilitate it? How can they make it happen in a way that's beneficial for them, including, as a reference, a past trade the Pacers got involved in with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll also talk about TJ Warren and Lance Stephenson, the only two remaining outstanding Pacers free agents. What's the deal with them? Could they come back? And at the end, related to that, we'll talk about what do the Pacers still need to do, if anything. So the rest of this week, we'll talk about Summer League and a lot of the new players, Nesmith, Tice, etc., how they could, in theory, help the Pacers if they stay on the team. But today, let's dive into free agency one more time until the Pacers actually do some things. So the big thing holding up the league right now, it's not a secret, I talked about it last week even on this podcast, is Kevin Durant's trade demand request, whatever the perfect word is, right? He went to Brooklyn ownership and said, hey, I would like to be dealt. I do not want to be in a Brooklyn net anymore. So now every team that is in a serious place to contend is thinking, hey, we should get this guy. And so look, from a Pacers perspective, they probably aren't getting him. It's not the timeline to do so for them. It would make like sense from a small market perspective to get a locked up superstar for 4 years. It would take everything the Pacers have. Not one of Halliburton, Duarte, or Mathurin. Like, everything the Pacers could trade would have to be there. Their team would be Kevin Durant and whatever vets happen to not be involved in the trade. Maybe they decide to make it. But I think what the Pacers could do is get involved in the Durant trade and make it happen in a way that's beneficial to them. Let's go back in time to talk about what I mean. James Harden gets traded to the Nets from the Rockets. And out of nowhere, the Pacers have traded Victor Oladipo in this deal, right? That is the opportunistic thing that Kevin Pritchard did there. He said, oh, this big trade's about to happen. Well, the Rockets don't really care about having Caris LeVert. They're about to get a bunch of picks. Maybe they could take a gamble on Victor Oladipo and we can get Caris LeVert. And they slid in there and they got LeVert and 2 seconds for Depo, which worked out very well for them in retrospect, given what Depo was worth a few months ago. That's the sort of opportunistic thing that's there for the Pacers in this deal. And it's not that they could get a piece from the Nets they like necessarily. It's that because they can help maybe facilitate this deal or be a part of it because of stuff we'll talk about in a second, cap space and pieces, they could be in theory in a position to get assets that make sense for their team in a Durant trade, even if they themselves do not get Kevin Durant. So let's talk about some of the facilitating options the Pacers could have. And the first one is the boring one, but the easiest one. Taking on unwanted salary. If this trade gets huge, Kevin Durant makes a bunch of money. Some big money is going to have to go back to Brooklyn unless there's a big cap dump somewhere to make this trade happen. And so the Pacers could take on whatever the big salary is from whatever team sends it out. You know, maybe it's the team he goes directly to. If he goes to Phoenix, you know, maybe they trade Ayton, and I don't know that the Pacers would get Ayton, but they could get a big salary that Ayton goes to that team or something. I don't know. There's a million ways that that could be sliced up. They can take in, if they send out a couple guys, they could take in basically anybody in the league with their cap space they have. They could get up to $26 million in room. The Pacers could help facilitate the deal by taking in some money and then getting one of the assets that was in theory going for Durant for that team, getting rid of that money in the deal. Because the Nets don't want crappy money. They would like to be good now. They don't have any of their picks going forward. That is one way the Pacers can help. They can use their cap space to make the trade easier between the two teams. Number two is get an asset, the Pacers could, that they value more than the Brooklyn Nets. Let me give you an example of what I mean by this. Let's just go back to the Suns for the example here. Let's pretend Mikal Bridges is in this trade. And the Nets like Mikal Bridges, but they like other stuff better. So let's pretend this is all made up values. None of this is real. But the Pacers send like the Cavs first round pick they have and the Celtics first round pick they have and like good matching salary for Mikal Bridges, and the Nets would rather have those things than Mikal Bridges. Then the Pacers could have Mikal Bridges and the Nets could get the pieces that they want instead. That's another way the Pacers could get involved. They could get an asset they like in exchange for their own pieces if the Nets or the team trading away Kevin Durant like those pieces instead. And that could be kind of similar to a salary dump, for example, like if the Pacers get an asset they like more than a player on their team in exchange for that salary dump, if that's Buddy Hield or TJ McConnell or Daniel Tice, whatever, maybe that's a way that they could get involved and do both of those things in one swoop. But I think that there are, you know, that's a lot of the holdup in this stuff is like if the Nets don't like a valuable piece from another team, but the Pacers do, there could be a way to swap those pieces around and make this trade more fair for everybody. Like Jared Allen going to the Cavs in the James Harden trade. Like the Cavs said, no, we'll send out stuff in this trade. We'll give up serious stuff because we like Jared Allen. We want to get him. And the Nets would have rather had the stuff coming around in that deal. That's why they were able to get Jared Allen. And look how much that worked for them. That's just as an example. So Mikal Bridges could be a guy, a million names, someone from the Raptors, someone from the Heat, wherever he ends up, just naming the commonly linked teams so far. So that's sort of like what they did with LeVert and Inverse, but they could do something like what they did with LeVert. Like, for example, if the Nets like one of the Pacers, or any team that's in this three-team deal, likes Buddy Hield, or likes TJ McConnell, or likes Daniel Tice, or likes any of the vets the Pacers happen to employ, or Goga Batadze, or Miles Turner, or something like that, the Pacers could send that guy out in exchange for a different vet that they may like more, or may fit better with the team, for example. Like, that's basically what they did in the LeVert deal, and that ended up working out extremely well for them, right? That makes a lot of sense to me as an option as well. That's another way they could get involved. Like for the LeVert thing, LeVert just got rerouted because the Pacers were like, oh, we value you more than the Rockets do. And he is kind of a young guy, but he was kind of a vet as well. That's something else the Pacers could do to get involved. And they could even just be a salary ballast to make stuff match. Like stair-stepping salaries is hard to explain, but if the trades are just barely imbalanced, maybe Buddy Hield could be in the deal to make the money right between two teams and the Pacers get an asset for helping it all be facilitated. There are a million ways the Pacers can get involved. And because they have the cap space, they have probably in the top two left in the league in terms of cap space left, they're in position to help whatever team trades for Durant or the Nets facilitate either by using the space or by using their vets, right? It's not like Buddy Hield and TJ McConnell and Miles Turner are valueless to good teams. So the Pacers are in a really, really strong position to help facilitate this sort of deal, either via their cap space or via the assets they've accumulated. I think it's very interesting the way the Pacers have gone about. They've done a good job to create the optionality and flexibility that they've talked so much about. And that really helps them in a situation like this where if the Nets are just barely off with whatever team they're trading with directly, a third team can just step in and make the balances work for both teams. And then the Pacers could be opportunistic and get something they like, or flip their assets for something they like better. Because every team's in a different situation. Every asset has different value to every team. If you're the Pacers, this is a good opportunity with a big trade like this about to happen. I don't know about to happen, might be wrong. I don't know when it's going to happen. Shams has reported it could take weeks. I don't think the Nets or any team actually want it to take weeks. But if they say it's going to take weeks, maybe teams will up their trade value. The value of their trade. But it might take weeks, I mean, to canvas that much stuff, to trade around that much stuff, to gut your whole team. Maybe it does. Either way, the Pacers are set with the Brogdon trade. It doesn't matter. That won't affect anything else. Whatever happens with Rubio won't necessarily affect the rest of their team. They're in a strong position to potentially help facilitate something like this. And there are a lot of ways they could do it. Because this trade could be enormous. I mean, he makes a ton of money, and Kevin Durant does, and is worth a ton of assets. And when that much parts move around, these trades tend to get complicated. Add in that Kyrie Irving could be involved in the same trade because his value isn't so high that that's unheard of. Maybe not Kyrie going to the same team as KD, but going somewhere else in a massive, massive trade. This could be an enormous trade with a ton of salary moving around. And if you're the Pacers who have some vets who make a lot of money but also have cap space and assets, you could find yourself, as Kevin Pritchard, in a unique position to swoop in and make your team better in a way that you maybe couldn't have if this trade request didn't happen. So James Harden trade, I think, is the perfect example. Pacers say, you know what? We'll trade Vic to the Rockets because they're in position to try to be good. Maybe they want him. And we'll get Caris LeVert in this deal. That ended up working out great for them. They were able to flip LeVert for more stuff. And Vic ended up getting traded for nothing about a couple months later. So I think Pritchard has a chance to be opportunistic here. But we'll see what actually happens. I should have said this at the beginning. It's 4th of July and I live in the city. So if you keep hearing booming sounds in the background, that is fireworks going on because it is 11 p.m. But let's continue on talking about Pacers free agency. Two players who have not gotten hardly any buzz in the last couple weeks. And that's TJ Warren and Lance Stephenson, do they make sense at all for the Pacers right now? What is their situation? Could they go to another team? Let's talk about that. Before we do so, though, I would like to talk to you guys about Arcade 1-Up, because boom shakalaka, got some big news. The one and only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1-Up, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing back the best basketball game ever, but they've made it bigger than ever with a Shaq Edition machine. You can jump clear across the court, set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. There's no fouls, no free throws, no quarters required. And you can compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for estimated early September ship date. They've even got more classics, Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, many others starting at just $3.99. Check it out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq Edition machine to a lockdown listener. You can enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockdown. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockdown. You've got till July 8th to enter to win the NBA Jam Shaq Edition machine. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. For your second listen, because we're just talking about Kevin Durant, head over to Locked On Nets. Hear what they have to say about the latest and greatest in Brooklyn. My goodness, that team is going to be different this coming season. Let's talk about two Pacers free agents. There has not been much buzz around. Look, the Pacers free agent list this summer was not very long. Ricky Rubio, TJ Warren, Lance Stephenson, Nate Hinton kind of matters in this. Gabe York as well. Those last two guys both on the summer league team, but not a lot of spots on the roster for them. Still, a chance for them to show out in the organization. Rubio has already signed with the Cavs. The Pacers kept O'Shea Brissett via his team option. That leaves just TJ Warren and Lance Stephenson out there as Pacers free agents who have a place to go. What's the situation with them? Where are they going to go? It's kind of tough to say, because from a Pacers perspective, there's not a lot of room. And we'll go through this in the next segment, but there's 16 guys that the Pacers have on their roster that could, in theory, make sense to be on their team next year. There's only 15 roster spots. There's really 17 if you count two-ways. There's not a lot of two-way eligible guys who don't already have a contract. There's also Stauskas, Morgan, and Fitz in the mix. Pacers roster is full. They might have to make some cutting moves. They might do that anyway. But even, like, Lance was already in a logjam at guard. Even still, after trading Brogdon, Halliburton, McConnell, Nembhard, Mathurin, Hill, the Washington, Duarte, even Nesmith to an extent, he's only 6'5", are guards. They need guard minutes. And Nesmith probably will play the three. And Duarte could play the three. Maybe Kendall Brown sneaks in at the three. There's room to sneak in other guys to not guard. There's not really room for Lance on this team. And even TJ Warren. What's the deal with him? I mean, there's not a lot of threes on the team. I just talked about guards playing the three. Duarte, Nesmith. Maybe Jalen Smith plays the four. O'Shea Brissett's going to be the backup. I mean, it's a weird forward and guard combo situation for the team. Let's start with Warren really quick. I haven't heard a thing. I reach out to people quite a bit trying to figure out what's going on with these guys. Not to report on anything, but just to understand what to talk about. How to attack these sorts of conversations. I have not heard a thing about TJ Warren in this free agency. I have no idea what he's thinking, what teams could be interested, what makes a lot of sense for him. Because coming off of the injuries, it's tough to say what his value is. It's tough for teams to decide if he is worth an investment. That's what I wrote about with him before free agency. No one really knows. It's going to be tough for these teams to figure out how much TJ Warren is worth in this free agency period. The difference between when I wrote that and now is a bunch of teams have signed players. A ton of teams have. And this is something I talked about with Jalen Smith a lot. Something that worked for the Pacers is a bunch of teams right at the start of free agency used their mid-level exception. And so suddenly, the options for Jalen Smith to sign with that weren't the Pacers, where he could make a lot of money, were not that many. And so he came back to the Pacers. TJ Warren, who might be worth a little more than the MLE, is a risk-taking option to me. There's also not a lot of teams that have the full MLE to offer him. To me, $10 million in the first year of his deal makes a lot of sense. Maybe the second and third years or whatever it ends up being aren't guaranteed, but there's not a lot of values that are obvious and make sense for TJ Warren. And with all these MLEs drying up, he might not have a lot of options left. San Antonio's out there with some space in theory. You know, Memphis in theory has some space. The Pacers themselves, obviously, via full bird rights or via space, could keep him around. But the options where it's like, this is a team that could pay TJ Warren the money that it seems like his market value should be, is pretty low. Unless he's willing to take a one-year prove-it deal, which coming off of injuries is a super risky option for any player. So it's hard to say what his market is. There's not a lot of options out there. And that makes me think, more so than I ever have, I talked about sign and trades a lot with Ricky Rubio for obvious reasons. But I think it's possible TJ Warren gets in a sign and trade. And maybe the Pacers take back crappy money by doing so. Maybe some team can still free up their full MLE and bring him in. And that would be ideal, I think, for him in this case. A 3-year MLE deal, 1.5 years guaranteed or something. But maybe the Pacers can still sign and trade TJ Warren. They have his full bird rights. They have the capabilities to do so in a way that other teams can't. And more teams keep using their mid-level exception, I think it's more and more possible that the Pacers are able to do that and extract value in this situation. And oh, by the way, look, the Pacers have 16 guys, so maybe they can't keep Warren. And we'll talk about those 16 guys specifically in the next segment. But they still need wings. It would not be crazy for the Pacers to sign Warren and still try to make their aggregate trade to clear some spots on the roster. So I've heard nothing about him concrete. I can't link him to any team. I don't know. But it's possible that Warren could be signed and traded or come back to the Pacers still. He could go anywhere else. I basically have just said every option for him, so I have said nothing. But his situation in free agency, I mean, he's like one of the best free agents left at this stage. I mean, the Pacers don't have space on the team necessarily. There's not a lot of spending out there for him. But, I mean, Ayton, obviously, is a restricted free agent, and Sexton are better. But TJ Warren might be the best unrestricted free agent still on the market. So the fact that he's still out there is very fascinating to me. I think it speaks to what teams think about, you know, him only playing 4 games in the last 20 months, basically, when the season will tip. And we'll see what ends up happening with him. Lance, I don't have much to say. I mean, I'm going to use a lot of the same points I just used with Warren. But you look at Lance Stephenson, he is the best at point guard. I think this became very obvious with the Pacers. They're one of the few franchises historically, both this past season and forever, who have found a way to maximize him by giving him the ball, putting it in his hands, having him be the point guard. He had his best passing season in ages last year. He was very good as a point guard. The Pacers already have 3 of those. Andrew Nembhard, TJ McConnell, and obviously Tyrese Haliburton. Even if they trade McConnell, it seems like, to me, I would understand having Lance as your third point guard, but Nembhard should get minutes over him. And then Lance isn't even playing. Would he want to come to a team he's not playing on? I don't know. If he plays 2 or 3, I mean, sure, he's a fan favorite. That has some value. Puts butts in seats, sells some jerseys. But he wouldn't be playing in the optimal world. He becomes a much worse player when he moves to an off-ball spot. Oh, by the way, they already have a bunch of off-ball guards. 5 of them, really. Mathurin, Buddy Hield, Dwayne Washington, Nesmith and Duarte. A couple of those guys can play the 3. That's fine. Lance can play the 3 himself. He's tall enough to do it. But that's not his ideal role. And I just think the Pacers' current roster construction, even still after trading Brogdon, because Nesmith can kind of do 2-3, does not really lend itself to Lance returning. I don't think Lance should be not in the NBA. I did think that in the past. But he is good enough as like a third string point guard or something that some team should have him. And there are teams out there that maybe want a third string point guard. Why jump at that right now if you're any NBA team, though? See what happens in the Durant deal. See what pieces get moved around. See what becomes available. And then you can jump in with your Lance Stephenson, Lou Williams, Rajon Rondos that are still out there if you need that vet point guard who can do that kind of stuff. So I don't think Lance will be signed imminently by anybody. And the Pacers, it doesn't make any sense unless they deal more guards. If they trade Buddy Hield, maybe he's in a Nets deal. Maybe he goes somewhere else. If they trade TJ McConnell, same thing. And by a Nets deal, I mean in a 3-team trade or a 4-team trade or a big trade, but not the Pacers trading directly with the Nets. Anyway, then maybe if they trade multiple guards along the way. But it seems like as of now, I haven't heard much about Lance's market. It seems like the Pacers should not be pursuing that given their roster construction. And Warren, maybe he's one of the next dominoes to fall because he's one of the better unrestricted guys. But again, with the Pacers, it's running out of time to make sense, given how this free agency has gone. Maybe the Pacers find a big deal elsewhere and have some roster spots. Then maybe they could turn back to these guys. But both of them seem like they should be looking for the biggest role or biggest money they can get right now because the options are drying up for every player in the league. That's not unique to them, but they are the Pacers free agents that I wanted to talk about here. We'll see what happens. Perhaps that happens early this week. And Warren's good enough that he could be signed pre-Durant decision, I think. But Lance, I think, is a guy that'll have to wait until those big trades happen and roster spots or obvious locations for destinations become available. Let's do one more segment today to close out some free agency talk for a couple shows until someone actually gets signed or things change. What do the Pacers still need to do? Is there anything they still need to do? What do they still have to iron out to finish deciding what their team will look like after free agency's done? Because they play summer league in a few days, and I would really like to start covering that stuff, plus how the new guys fit on this team. Before we talk about that, though, I want to talk to you guys about Built Bar, who make the best tasting protein bars ever. So many listeners have tried them, and told me that they love them, and they have a new one, Coconut Brownie Chunk Puff. It's got coconut flavor, brownie flavor, obviously, marshmallow flavor. They're absolutely delicious. For the people who invented healthy and tasty, come the latest gift to your taste buds, the Coconut Brownie Built Bar Chunk. You'll absolutely love it. That flavor you love in a delicious chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. That's something Built Bar always does. All of them are 100% covered in chocolate. They're super fluffy. They're absolutely delicious, and they're good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, super, super delicious, and it's a limited time flavor. So you gotta go check it out now and make it happen. They're filled with collagen proteins, which are easier for your body to absorb efficiently, so you get that protein quicker. And of course, they taste good, they're amazing, and they're good for you. Go try them yourself at built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 when you check out. You'll get 15% off your order. That promo code again is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today. And every single day for your second listen, I'm going to be biased here, check out Locked On NBA, because me and David Ramil talked about free agency winners and losers from the first 5 days, plus who are the best free agents still out there. We talked about TJ Warren. We talked about some winners and losers. Pacers did not fit into either group of winners and losers, which is fine, I suppose. I think they'd prefer to be in the winners group, and maybe as this period develops, they could be, but we were only talking about the first 5 or so days. Speaking of Pacers free agency, do they need to do anything else? What else could they sign? They've only signed Jalen Smith so far. They've added some players via trade, via the draft. They've only actually come to an agreement so far with Jalen Smith. Do they need to do anything else? Let's take stock of the team before we look at that topic. Like I said in the last segment, 16 guys currently sit as potential to be under contract this season. That's too many, first of all. I will name them all very quickly, and I've sorted them by position. Haliburton, McConnell, and Nembhard as your point guards. Mathurin, Buddy Hield, Dwayne Washington as your two guards. Duarte, Nesmith, and Kendall Brown as your threes. Jalen Smith, O'Shea Brissett, Terry Taylor as your fours. Miles Turner, Isaiah Jackson, Goga Batadze, and Daniel Tice as your fives. That's 16 players. That is 16 players. So do the Pacers need anything else? Well, that's the wrong question, honestly, looking at that. They need less. They have too many people as of now. So we'll talk about what they actually need in a second. But just taking stock of those names, either a couple things have to happen for the Pacers as free agency goes on. They either have to move one of those guys, or one of them has to get a two-way contract. But the problem with that is only Andrew Nembhard and Kendall Brown are unsigned. They're the only two-way eligible guys. So if the Pacers make no more trades, Nembhard got picked 17 spots higher. It's pretty obvious to figure out where this is going. Kendall Brown would be on a two-way, and then they'd have one other two-way slot to fill their team, and that's it. So do the Pacers need anything else? Maybe if they make no trades, which seems very unlikely given the fact that I just said they have 16 guys who make sense to be under contract right now. Kendall Brown's getting a two-way, and they're basically done. Their team is basically done. They're one two-way away from being done. But that doesn't make a lot of sense. And a lot of these guys haven't been signed. They can still do minimums or two-ways. There's a lot out there. Oh, by the way, Nick Stauskas, Juwan Morgan, and Malik Fitz are still technically in the orbit of this conversation. I think they'll all be either rerouted or just cut, but they're still worth monitoring in this discussion. So the Pacers have too many names. So looking at the roster straight up, actually, let's back up for a second. I think something is noteworthy here. We are in the moratorium of free agency, so most signings can't happen, but a few things can happen. Minimum contracts can be signed, rookie scale contracts can be signed, and two-way contracts can be signed. As you saw, Benedict Mathurin signed his rookie scale deal 2 days ago on Sunday. Sunday, I was correct. But Andrew Nembhard has not signed, meaning he will probably get more than the minimum, as most 31st picks do. And Kendall Brown has not signed. He was late enough picked that I think he is technically a minimum contract guy. He could be a two-way contract guy. But if you're the Pacers, you would like to maybe give him a three-year deal using either your MLE or cap space. And then that becomes not a minimum guy. If you don't know what your two-way situation is, you wouldn't sign him yet. I think that this is really, really kind of overthinking how roster building works, but it is noteworthy. Kendall Brown not having signed a contract yet means the Pacers are probably not done making some sort of move. Because they would either like, if they wanted to give him a two-way or a minimum deal, they could do it right now. They would have done it already. They don't have to do it now, but they could have done it already. So the fact that they haven't kind of signals to me they're either going to free up a spot for him or they don't know what's going to happen with their two-ways. And either way, that suggests that there's still something going on that they need to clear up and figure out their whole situation. So that's a very minor thing. It could be that's a very minor move. I'm not signaling a big move is coming because of Kendall Brown. But what I am saying is the fact that he has not signed yet could mean that some small shuffling is on the way. The problem with determining that is It's not that they don't have enough players, it's that they have too many, right? You look at their power forward spot. Jalen Smith, probably better at the five. Terry Taylor was better at the five last year. He's also 6'5". O'Shea Brissett's a natural four, but they still could probably use another four. For example, at the three spot, I currently have typed Duarte, Nesmith, and Kendall Brown. Maybe Kendall Brown's a natural three, but Nesmith could be 2-3. Duarte could be 2-3. They still kind of feel like they need a forward. And it doesn't if they want to get one, they got to get rid of some stuff, right? So their current needs in free agency are really interesting because it seems like the Pacers are ripe for a minor move somewhere to shed off a guy or two. I don't know how they do that. There's a million guys that could be involved, right? For example, you look at the center spot, and there's four guys, Miles Turner, Isaiah Jackson, Goga Batadze, Daniel Tice. You could all argue deserve minutes. That's too many, right? One of them seems like one of the guys that would be on the move. They have other guys that would be out of position in some sort of way at their guard spots, just given how the team works. But it seems like, do the Pacers need to do anything else? Well, they might need to find a way to get a forward on their team. But to do so, they will either have to deal somebody or cut somebody or sign a guy like Kendall Brown to a two-way contract. And that's all possible. But I think that context is important. And if you think about, do the Pacers need to do anything else? They don't have to do anything else. They could, in theory, be done now. Kendall Brown takes a two-way, boom, their roster's done. But it seems like given kind of the imbalance of positions, given the moves they haven't made yet, and given how many centers they have, and that they have 16 guys who are kind of in the mix to be a roster guy, that something is still coming for this team. Whether that's moves to clear up spots to get a three, whether that's moves just to get down to the right roster size, whether that's signing a couple guys to two-way deals that we don't know about yet. It seems like there are a lot of stuff that the Pacers still need to do. So the 3-2 thing, I mean, that doesn't really matter to me. Threes and twos can be interchangeable. You can call them wings, you can call them guards, whatever. Maybe they need some fours, but Jalen Smith can do it. Terry Taylor can do it. What they really need is to figure out what their team's going to be. Who is the 15th guy? Who are the two-way guys? How do they sort out these positions? Because as of right now, there are too many guys in the mix. So to answer the question asked at the top of this segment, do the Pacers need anything else? No, they don't. What do they need to do still? Figure out their situation. More forwards are always good. Isaiah Roby is currently a guy that could claim on waivers. He started a lot for the Thunder last year. He's a decent player. But claiming a guy like that doesn't make sense when you have too many guys in your orbit on your team. So the Pacers, I still think, are due for a move. I don't know what it is, but I think they're going to be shipping out some guys who are probably on the outside of their rotation ever so slightly for like future assets or crappier stuff or lesser guaranteed money so that they can free it all up and make it all make perfect sense. So to answer the question in one sentence, do the Pacers need anything else? No, but they should be still a team that makes a move or two to make their team make more sense. That is the thesis and the end of my free agency discussion and why I think the Pacers are still going to do something, whether that's getting a big involvement in the Kevin Durant trade or somehow tweaking a trade or a move they already have agreed to, or whether that's cutting someone unexpectedly. I don't know, but I still think the Pacers are going to have to do something given the names and the positions of the players still on their roster. That is the free agency coverage I have for you guys. That's everybody still out there. That's everybody the Pacers have. Maybe if someone asks me a great question about the rest of Pacers free agency, I'm happy to answer. But I think now it's time to talk about guys like Aaron Nesmith. What can he bring to the Pacers? How can he help them now, and how can he help them in the future? Daniel Tice, is he right for this team right now? All those sorts of questions are really important as the Pacers move on. And the Brogdon trade, I don't think I've covered enough. That's a huge deal for the Pacers. So the rest of this week, you can expect content with John Corrales from Locked On Celtics. We'll talk about that trade. Talk a little bit about free agency with some guests in the Pacers world. And talk about Summer League, because the Pacers play their first Summer League game now in 3 days. 3 days. You will see Benedict Mathurin in a jersey that says Pacers playing in a game for the first time. I'm sure many fans will hope that he is as exciting in Summer League as Chris Duarte was last year. So that's what you can look forward to on the Locked On Pacers podcast. Hope everybody had a good and safe longer weekend if you had a longer weekend. If you didn't, I still hope you had a lot of fun. And thank you for listening all the way to the end of this podcast. We'll be back tomorrow talking Pacers, talking new players, talking free agency, whatever the topics happen to be. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.